And there we have it. The story of Jonah told in less than a minute. Hi, Dan. Good morning. I can't help but share a little bit of emotion that I'm having right now. That song right there, The Lion and the Lamb, just brings into me I can't even think of a song that explains God so well. A roaring, thunderous lion in complete control of his power. And yet a weak, innocent, pure lamb that would die for us. The Lion and the Lamb. And oh yes, this is connected to Jonah. We're going to get into it. Here we go. So Nineveh was a really bad place. That's something I learned last week. I don't know if you did too, but the Assyrians, I really appreciated Greg's introduction to the book of Jonah last week. And especially as we talk about the Assyrians and just the mess that they were, the thorn that they were in Israel's side, they were not good people. And when you look at it, there's no getting around that. And the fact that most of us probably would have had the same response that Jonah had. We looked at those evil, wicked people who are doing terrible things and said, they don't deserve God's grace. They deserve punishment. They deserve condemnation. They deserve hell. When it gets down to it, I think a lot of us would feel the exact same way when it comes to maybe groups today that are persecuting Christians. Maybe people today that stand up in evil and do horrendous things in this world. And we look at them and we say, no. On the outside, we might say, they desperately need Jesus. On the inside, we'd say, God condemn them. So am I Jonah? Yeah, I'm Jonah sometimes. And the other thing Greg brought up last week that really resonated with me was he said, there's not much that this book of Jonah and what is happening is not necessarily as much about Nineveh or even as much about Jonah, but it's as much about God, Yahweh, in this context, who put a direct calling on one of his followers and said, go do this. It really isn't about Nineveh's evil. Not even about how much they need God. But it's about God calling one individual to go because he wanted to save someone. So today, one of the things I want to start with is I hope that you're really taking advantage of the opportunity to dig into this short 4-chapter book. I talked to someone this week, who said, I took your challenge, Cliff, and I started reading it every day. And it's just opening up tons of questions. He says, I'm getting distracted. I'm going this direction, then I'm going that direction. Perfect. Right? This book should do that to you. I talked to somebody else who said, okay, I took the challenge. Instead of reading it every day, what I did is I opened up my Bible app and I started in the ESV and I listened to it completely through in the ESV. And then the next day I switched to the NIV and I listened to it all the way through. And the next day in the New American Standard and the next day in the Living and then the Message. They went through it all that way. And they said, I got to explore the book in a totally different way. So one of the things I want to say at the outset is, inevitably, as we preach through Jonah, as we teach through Jonah, we are going to miss some things that you wish we had said. You know, those of you that are they're in the Word and you've studied Jonah and you're waiting for that moment when I'm going to bring up that one point that you're like, no, they need to hear this. I might miss that. But what I hope you'll do is just continue to dig deeper and deeper and have conversations with each other and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and show you where you are in this story. And I'm going to ask a couple of times today, with whom do you identify in this story? There are some different characters. We have Yahweh, we have God. Most of us probably won't identify with him in this story. We have Jonah. I think a lot of us will identify with Jonah. We have the captain of the ship. You have the sailors in the ship. I'm going to kind of put them in the same area. We have the fish. You might identify with the fish. And then we have the Ninevites. And you may even identify with the Ninevites. We'll get into that. Let me throw a map up here, because you know I like maps, and I like to be able to visually see where we are. And so the story starts here in Gath-Hepher, or Hepher, or whatever. We can say it however we want, because that's not how it's pronounced in English, in the original language. And that's where Jonah came from. And he receives the call to go to Nineveh, which is about 500 miles there to the northeast from where he is. Instead, he goes down. There's this theme in the book of Jonah. He goes down to Joppa, to a port city, and he gets on a ship, and he's going to go to Tarshish. Now this happens all around 793 to 753 BC, during the reign of King Jeroboam II, who's reigning in the northern kingdom of Israel. It's important context-wise to understand where Nineveh is as part of Assyria, that Hosea and Amos have already prophesied that the Assyrians would be used to judge the Israelites along the way. And so they're already fairly tense about any interaction with the Assyrians, with the Ninevites. And then you have Tarshish. It's an interesting thing. This map really doesn't show it in the right place. Just go out to the Strait of Gibraltar there, right about where the A is of Tarshish, and that's probably where Tarshish was. And if you think about it, Jonah was trying to go as far as it was possibly known as someone could go away from Nineveh. Think about that. About 2,500 miles is the distance. Crazy stuff here. So that's some of the context setting this up. Let's open up to Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to go through it together. I'm going to read out of the New International Version. And I thought I'd just throw in the first three verses from last week as a bonus. You okay with that? All right, here we are in Jonah chapter 1. And by the way, those of you who came early for the baptisms, they're still happening. We just had to change the order around. It was kind of cold up there. Okay. All right, here we go. Jonah chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. That's the context which was set up for us last week. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea and lightened the ship. Now, interestingly enough, that word threw is that jettisoned. There's another reference, actually several places where the Hebrew root is used here. It's hurling the cargo overboard, throwing it into the sea. It's also going to be the same root that they use when they throw Jonah into the sea. They hurled him into the sea. And it's also going to be the same word when the fish spewed him out, too. Interesting. But Jonah had gone below deck. Notice again, he went down, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots and find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? That's a great question. Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? They're going to figure this out. Why some God is so angry at Jonah? Verse 9, he answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Notice Jonah didn't go up above the deck and just jump into the sea and end the problem right there. He proclaimed truth, even when it was painful. Verse 10, this terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Hey, I'm on the ship and I'm running from the Lord. I'm going to go down and take a nap. Have fun. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make this sea calm down for us? No. They said, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Now, this is an interesting little spot. I'm going to pause for a second. As I'm studying this in the past couple of weeks and looking at this spot in the story, right here, Jonah could have repented. He could have made the choice right there to say, turn the ship around.